This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Powered by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. When the construction and property sectors are healthy, one of the ancillary beneficiaries is the fire protection business. With the construction sector expected to grow on average by 6% annually over the next few years, how much of this will ignite the fortunes of Unique Fire Holdings Berhad, an ACE market listed company? Joining me to share updates on Unique Fire since its IPO in 2022 is Executive Director Ryan Liu. Ryan, good morning. Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning. I feel really good to be back here.
Now, Unique Fire has been in the business of fire protection since 1997, and you listed on the ACE market in 2022. Now, for listeners who may be less familiar with your brand, can you briefly remind us about the evolution of the company? Because you started out as a distributor of fire protection systems, equipment, and accessories, but today you've also branched out into manufacturing and assembly of your own products.
Yes. So our business, we involve in like doing active fire protection systems. When we talk about like active, which means that our products is used to like extinguish the fire. All right. And that's the business that we have involved for the past 25 years.
Can you talk to me about the difference between fire suppression and fire protection products? Because you offer both.
Yes. For me, that like fire suppression product from the word, it means that it is used to suppress a fire. So when we talk about fire suppression, I will relate it to like the gas suppression system that we have under our own brand, which is like Unique, like 227s. So we should that fire suppression actually is used in an enclosed space there, where this is like more into like a systems. Mm. Fire protection is more like an equipment where like smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, the different kind of fire extinguishers, and they are classified under the fire protections.
So you have three main business activities: assembly, distribution, and manufacturing. So the assembly segment is currently the biggest contributor to revenue, making up about 48% in 2023. Yeah. But you also have a clear strategy of enhancing the manufacturing segment, which grew from 17% of revenues in 2022 to nearly 22% last year. So why this emphasis on manufacturing of fire extinguishers?
All right, the manufacturing fire extinguishers is under our own brand there. And especially like this year, we have implemented a digital solutions into our fire extinguishers where it can help the fire service contractors to smoothen the application of the EFIS applications. Because every fire extinguishers to use in Malaysia in a commercial building, it has to be registered with like the Bomba, and the Bomba, they have a system which is called EFIS. And we have implemented a digital solutions that can help them to smoothen up the whole application processes.
But you also have other in-house products, right? It's not just fire extinguishers. I think you also have other protection products that make up about 83% of your total revenues. You don't manufacture all of those, though. Yep. So what percentage of your branded products are manufactured in-house versus outsourced?
Some of the products that actually, because that in Malaysia, a lot of the contractors that we have been in the business since like 1997, Unique brand has been a brand that people trust that of our quality products there. So other than those that's manufactured, like under manufacturing, there are like fire extinguishers, like there are different type of model of fire extinguishers there. But also that we have like worked with our suppliers to like use our brand on the brands that even though that we have not manufactured for assembly, like also for like distributions products there. For assembly products there, we have brand like our own fire gas suppression system, which is a Unique 227, Unique 5112. Yeah, this is a brand that actually we do not manufacture them, but we assemble them. And this also carry on with like distribution products, like some of the distribution products such as like fire hydrant, wet dryer systems, and all these systems that actually it carries our own brand as well.
Mm. Where are your other products manufactured? You know, and what is your relationship with these manufacturers? Are they long-term supply contracts that you leverage on, or do you change who your suppliers are based on current conditions?
No, the way we do business that we have to like build a relationship. So our supplier has been with us for like 10 to like 15 years there. Mm. So in order for us to have a long-term relationship, first of all, that we have to like commit that the order that we're going to give it to them. And initially that we're going to give them feedbacks of like how to improve the product from like time to time there. And from there, that definitely agreement, we help us to like secure the benefits for like both sides there.
Mm. Yes. Are you looking to bring any other part of your product manufacturing in-house, or is this the kind of the arrangement that you have now, manufacturing fire extinguishers in-house, but everything else will be outsourced?
Yes, I think that right now we'll be moving forwards. Like, if you can see the numbers for our manufacturing is like increasing, because we still think that like we have a manufacturing license here in like Malaysia there, and we still think the labor costs, like also the electricity cost in like Malaysia is still lower to like compared to other countries. So definitely we have like a chance. If let's say in the futures we are maybe some of the supplier that would like to have us to manufacture their products, mm-hmm. actually we can do that. We really have this capacity. And at the same time, in Unique Fire, we have like a proceeds. And we already built like two big platforms. Actually, we are ready, our facilities as Kota Kemuning, to cater for any future opportunity to manufacture more products there. So when we manufacture more products, we can have much more control on the cost and the quality of the products.
I take that your products that are manufactured externally, are they all from China?
Yeah, it's mainly from China.
Are there any other suppliers or any other countries involved?
For the assembly products, we have like different products, different parts of the world there. So we have like products from like US, we have products from like Norway. Yes, we have like product from like Singapore. Yeah, we just depends on, because our industry is like, is a highly regulated industry. So you have to carry a certain approval.
Mm.
And if they have the international approval and it is recognized in Malaysia, and then we can start to like import their products to Malaysia.
All right. When we last spoke just before your IPO in August 2022, where you raised 21.8 million ringgit, a large chunk of that amount, about 2.5 million ringgit, is for the expansion of your manufacturing facilities within a timeline of 36 months. Talk to me about what the progress has been in terms of expanding your manufacturing. You wanted to set up two manufacturing lines. What's happened since?
All right, the manufacturing line is like it's already been set up in our company, and actually we're expecting it to the product to be released, the new design of fire extinguishers to be released in the second quarter of this year here.
Mm.
So the manufacturing line that we have put in, actually initially our capacity for our existing lines already reached to a capacity around like over 85%. So we need to have another line. So the line actually with the combine of our existing line there, we can produce up to maybe 610,000 of cylinders, yes.
Okay, but help me understand. The new manufacturing line is supposed to use a different production method from the existing line,
yes.
But is it still creating the same product, or is it a completely new product that this new manufacturing line is doing?
All right, I would just say that it's a completely new product. It is still a fire extinguisher, but with a different design. However, it carries the same approval. Because even if you want to sell like in Malaysia, like we have to get a CIRM approval. So the product, we also have like CIRM approval, but the product that we have produced, we are able to reduce the cost of the products there. So we can be much more competitive in the market.
So talk to me about coming up with these new type of products, yeah? You are coming up with a hand-portable dry chemical fire extinguisher that's both MS and BS certified.
All right.
How is this different from the fire extinguishers that you currently offer for sale?
Currently on offer, I think that on the British standards there, because British standards is an international standards, this product must be used like the country other than like Malaysia. For instance, that like Malaysia, our climate here is like humid and hot there. But in like internationally, they have like winter. So we have to do something, maybe an internal lining into the products there to ensure that the product does not corrode, easily be corroded. So this is something that we have to put extra into our products there to protect the fire extinguishers from corrosion.
Why would you need to do that if 99% of your revenues right now come domestically? You're selling this for the domestic market. Why are you making all this effort to make sure that it's internationally recognized?
Yes, after we list our company there, we are very ambitious to grow our company. And at the same time that we have to make sure that our ground in Malaysia, we still think that Malaysia still does have like ample space for like expansions there. But we also want to reach out this brand to like to have another export product. Then one of the export product that we can think of right now will be using our same line to manufacture the British standards fire extinguishers. Yes.
So when will this actually hit the manufacturing line and be available on market?
Actually, the few the few things that we have to consider also, when the product is ready, that we have to make sure that we have the market is like there. So there's a few things that we have to look into it. Malaysia, our Bomba or Fire Authority, they have like regulations to say is that every fire extinguishers has only can be used and renew, the certificate only renew for like 10 years.
Mm.
So after 10 years, regardless of like what's the conditions of the fire extinguishers, it has to be scrapped. So do we have like a cycle for like 10 years for replacement market? Yeah, that's an opportunity that we can tap into in Malaysia.
So when this new product comes into the market, you are confident that you will have the demand in order to fill up the capacity of your factory? Because as you said, it's going to, more than double the capacity that you have. There will be demand readily available for this, or are you going to have to build demand?
For us, to build the demand is that the regulation in Malaysia is there. Mm. Like Puspacom is really says that every commercial vehicle that you need to require to have a fire extinguisher. And the UBBL law and the certain states like Selangor, Penang, Malacca and Terengganu, they already says that under gazetted under their state law to have like one fire extinguisher and one home for those building under 80 meters there. And another then Sarawak also have like recently announced that they also want to adopt the same requirement as like those states that to have like one fire extinguisher for those building under 80 meters there. And the Fire Act and the regulation is also is there, where the fire certificate CCC, all these requirements for the building that it requires to have like fire safety equipment. So for me, that I believe that Malaysia is moving towards a developing nation. It's just in a matter of time where all these guidelines and rules will be strictly implemented.
I see. So in that sense, you're getting prepared. You see an eventuality where this is going to be the reality. They are going to need more fire extinguishers.
Yeah, right. We are preparing the umbrella before it rains.
Right. I'm speaking to Ryan Liu, Executive Director of Unique Fire Holdings, a fire protection systems provider listed on the ACE market. When we come back, are future prospects burning bright for Unique Fire, or could headwinds dampen the outlook? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and with me on the show today is Ryan Liu, Executive Director of Unique Fire Holdings Berhad, which, as the name suggests, manufactures, assembles, and distributes fire protection systems and products. Earlier, we were discussing some of the milestones that have been achieved post-IPO in relation to the manufacturing segment. Another objective of the IPO proceeds was to expand the geographical coverage of Unique Fire to Penang and Johor. Now, you opened your Johor business in May 2023. There's a lot of excitement in Johor property market with the potential of the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone, the mushrooming of data centers. Has this actually translated into new business for Unique Fire?
Yes, actually it has like increased the sales for like Unique Fire there, because it actually helped us in like reducing the logistic cost from us sending our products from like Kota Kembangan to like Johor. And at the same time, because the size of our Johor branch is like huge enough for our customers, sometimes they can just buy in bulk and then we allow them to store their goods at our warehouses so they can withdraw from like time to time there. So the bulk order from them, actually it helps. And also the reducing logistic cost, it helps to increase our sales for that state.
Can you give us figures in terms of how much sales has improved with the opening of your Johor business?
I think that we're around like maybe 15 to like 20%.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's the status update on your Penang expansion then? Has this taken a backseat?
We are looking forward for the Penang branch to be open in second quarter this year. We have like located a property. We will set up the branch, and now the branch will be set up in the way that same as like a Johor, that we have to like so we are like mirroring like the success that we have like Johor, like for Penang branch there. So I would say that now we are in the midst of like setting up the branch. Yes.
A key reason for your IPO in 2022 was to expand market share. And I suppose for now, the focus is going to be on the market share in Malaysia. How do you measure this exactly?
I think from there, we can see our quarterly result. Like for our quarterly Q3 cumulative result, we have around like 79.4 million, which is like so much, which is the sales is like more than like our last year's sales there.
Mm.
And up to this stage, yeah, we have a cumulative up to like 6.9 million of like profit there.
Mm.
So from these numbers, actually, it shows us that we have improved. We have increased our market share in Malaysia.
Okay, so how you measure market share is really your top and bottom lines.
Yes.
If you see that expansion, that is evidence to you that you're improving your market
True.
Share. So let's take a look at your third quarter earnings then. Revenues grew by 5% on year to 29.4 million ringgit, while profit after tax grew 33% to 3.2 million ringgit. Yeah. And if we look at the 9-month numbers, profit after tax ballooned by 260% on year.
Yes.
So what accounts for these stellar profit numbers?
Yes, I think that first of all, that we are very grateful that our customers, our loyalty customers and the supply has been like supporting us. So as I mentioned earlier, the critical factors that contribute to this number would be the digital solutions that we have like put into our fire extinguishers there. And with these digital solutions there, it increased the demand for products, especially from the fire servicing contractor customer segments, where they really like this our solutions that can help them to smoothen up their EFIS applications.
Mm.
Okay. And at the same time is that at the beginning, as I said, after we list our company, we are very ambitious to grow the company. So for us to grow the company long term, that we have to like continuously like to reward our shareholders with like dividends or like warrants like this. So we have targeted a profit that we want to achieve this year. But when we want to achieve this, like it's not like merely just what it's just we can't achieve it on our own. We have to have like a teamwork from like our customers and our suppliers. So we have like, because of the good relationship they have with suppliers, we ask for like discounts, but we have to give them a bulk order from that.
Mm.
So after we have enough capital for a bulk order there, so we can like reduce our selling price and it also then it contribute to our gross margin and we can sell to a much more competitive price.
I'm curious though how you've managed to do that, given that just a few years ago, we could see that costs were actually going up.
Yeah.
I think the price of steel, well, that has moderated considerably in the past year, dropping over 20%. That has certainly helped
yes.
in reducing your costs. But prices are beginning to tick upwards in hopes that China demand will pick up. Is this going to have a material impact on your production costs in the coming year?
I think that we have the experience. Like you said, after the post-COVID, I think the industry, they have faced a few problems. They have the steel fluctuation, logistic costs. All this has been increased there. So because of that, that we do not have a good gross margin on our last financial year. But this year, things has been like stable down there. So at the same time that I think that the supplier relationship that we have with them, for me, just like last year, the China market is not as aggressive as this like this year. So we also have like login orders for like our suppliers. So our supplier are able to survive through that period of time there. So I think that the relationship we have built up. So now we want to move forward and they are willing to give us a good discounts.
I see.
About orders. Yes,
okay.
It's about like relationship.
But what about other input materials that are denominated in foreign currencies? We have seen
yes.
the ringgit tank over the past 2 years. So how have you managed this currency risk? That's, I think, one of the things I'm surprised of, the fact that you have managed to manage your costs
yeah.
despite the very weak ringgit.
I think that the weak ringgit, what we have to do, after we list our company, one of the things that our management have put in a lot of efforts is to improve our cash flow. When you improve the cash flow, so you can purchase the USD. And now, when we purchase the USD, we can purchase at the rate that we hedge the rate.
Mm.
So we can pay our suppliers. And now the supplier allow us to pay them by like TT, like this, yeah.
Okay, so there's a bit of hedging strategy going on. It's
yes.
also relationships with your suppliers and getting good deals,
yes.
I suppose, in terms of material costs. But another thing that has increased considerably, if I look at your 2022 and 2023 annual numbers, is the cost of labor. So employee benefit expenses increased 35% on year based on the 2023 annual report. Does this trend continue for the financial year ending 2024?
I think that with our current workforce there, we have like that actually we do not foresee that we will still increase the workforce. Yes, because our new manufacturing line, they have this like a technology that it does not need to have that much of labor compared to our existing line.
I see.
Yes, so I think that the workforce number will kept at this number And yeah, that's what our strategy for this year.
And how is this going to affect the pricing of your product offerings then? Do you expect prices to remain stable, or are you seeing that they may have to be increased because of costs or other reasons?
Okay, I think that I would say is that we want the price to be like stable, and actually this also would depends on the market. But the way where what we're doing things is that we'll do our best to give our customers the best price. Because the price actually come in other than the price, we give them like a solutions, like prompt deliveries, technical supports, after sales service there. This service will still be continuously provide to our customers there.
If we look to the full year, I suppose, results, that's not been announced yet. But Malaysia's economy normalized to 3.7% in the fourth quarter of last year. Yeah. It didn't dent your third quarter earnings, which still improved on year as well as on quarter, as we discussed. But will we see these numbers slip for Q4, or does the upward trend for Unique Fire continue?
I'm very positive because our last quarter result we will announce in next month. We are very positive that it will be a good result, because for the past cumulative result for the past three quarters, we already achieved like 6.9 million of like profit, which is more than our full year profit of only 2.5 million our last financial year. So we are very positive that the future prospect of the numbers will be good.
But what are you worried about then? What do you see as the headwinds for Unique Fire in the coming year?
I think that the headwind will be the currency fluctuations. Yes. Because currency fluctuation is something that we can't control. But how we manage that is that since we can't control that, we have to go around with it. So we have to come up with like additional solutions, costing, digital solutions that actually we can still meet the demand for our customers. Yes.
So we've covered a lot of the opportunities that Unique Fire is pursuing in the chat. I'm wondering then why your share price has somewhat languished despite the positive narrative. I mean, your shares are currently trading close to your IPO price of 26 cents. What is it that investors are missing?
I think for me that the market price is something that is out of our control. There's a lot of factors that can affect the share. But however, looking forward to the prospects of Unique Fire, we are very confident that we can achieve a very good result.
Yes. Okay. And Unique Fire is very much a family business. Your father is the managing director. You and two other brothers are part of the board and management team. Is there a succession plan in place? And since you're speaking to me on The Breakfast Grill, are you the managing director in waiting?
I think that in a company like us, every brothers we have there, we always have this opportunity to become the managing directors of the company there. Definitely as a listed company, that we have like a succession plan where they have like processes that we have to go through with our independent directors to nominate us as our managing directors. But now currently we will leave all this aside, that we're just going to focus of like growing the business. When the time comes that it need to be decided, I'm very confident that we will come out with good decisions, but for the benefits of the company, of the shareholders, that we're going to achieve that.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Ryan Liu, Executive Director of Unique Fire Holdings. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
Beyond financial mastery, The Breakfast Grill with U-Mobile Biz, Malaysia's number one 5G network. 5G makes business sense.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.